Thanks for your message, Calaf. You've just texted in saying that you work a six-day week and it's a recent change at work. You finish at 3 p.m. and it's great, and that you're glad to hear that it's smart also. So thank you for that. And the text message I read out before, we left Dubai after 20 years. Back home, unemployed, my husband had a psychotic breakdown where he was hospitalised and medicated. 3 months later, we came back to Dubai, and that was 4 years ago. The job is coming to an end and we will again have to leave. What is the likelihood he will have another breakdown, as the situation back home in Egypt is worse than 4 years ago?
There's many variables that are involved. However, what we can say with some confidence, but not real assurance, is that usually things will repeat themselves like that, because the stress may not actually have changed. And that we know that is going on politically in a particular nation can actually cause the same thing to reoccur. Now, that doesn't mean it will have to. That means there are variables that can change. So we don't have control over the variables, nor can we predict 100% that something will be repeated, because we don't know what all the variables may be involved. Sometimes people may have learned from the experience of what they're calling a burnout, and then that may be prevented the next time. But the likelihood is more that it will repeat itself, but that doesn't mean that it has to.
Yeah. So the key is to understanding the illness, what's happened before and what triggered that.
You may be vulnerable.
Exactly. So you've already identified that we were in a certain location with a set of circumstances when this episode happened, when this breakdown happened. We're now going back to that location, but then we are 4 years down the line. But I guess what the concern is that if he's unemployed again, if there are worries or concerns again, that he's already vulnerable, he's already perhaps in a weaker position to cope.
And the situation where he's going to go back to happens to be a country that's war-torn right now. And also what men have to do is they have to provide and protect. And if he doesn't feel that he can do that, or if he doesn't think he can do that, that's even added more pressure, thinking that he's incompetent, he's unable to do effectively. Women also have the same situation when it comes to nourishing and bonding. And we see a lot of this in stressful situations when they're economically based. Men think that they need to go out and work harder to earn half the money. Women say, why are you doing that? Here's the time for us to stay at home, enjoy each other's company, because that's going to be more productive. The economy is bad. So men and women both have an interest in providing for their family, nourishing the family. The way that they do it may be a little bit different. So the stress is going to be different. For a woman, for instance, to go into that kind of burnout means that she's put in a situation where she can't nourish and bond. For instance, if the economy is so bad that she has to go out and work because the husband's job situation is insecure, then she feels the frustration of not being able to nourish and bond. It doesn't mean that she can only nourish and bond, or that men can only provide and protect. Both will do both, but the asset of a female species is to nourish and bond. The asset of the male species is to provide and protect. So those are the kind of psychological vulnerabilities that come into play here. And it's, again, things that can be relearned, to learn to actually reinstate your reality. And reality here would mean, what can you do in that circumstance?
Yeah.
What are the options? Do you need to go to a place, or can you only have a choice to go to that place that is vulnerable? And if you have other choices, which is the better option to take? You know, some people may not have the economic ability to move to any neighborhood that they want. They may be stuck in a neighborhood that is very vulnerable, politically, militarily, crisis-wise, economically. And all of these come into factors here. What is it that you can do? What are your options? And this is where you find, by working with the family, your immediate family and the extended family, can be most valuable, because that way people can have an option to work together to find not only the emotional support, but it also will pay off economically too. Sometimes people can come up with creative ideas on what to do to overcome a bad economic situation with something that is so simple that they never thought of, but it enables them to survive, even if it's just basic needs, until the economic situation survives.
It's a really good point, because again, that idea of fear, and if you're already putting that negativity into your mind that this isn't going to work and we're not going to cope very well, then you're almost inviting that scenario. And if you can take that advice of actually we identify the vulnerability, we understand to a certain extent what the triggers are, what are we in control of, what can we do to make a difference? And just the smallest thing you said there, the smallest thing might make the difference. But when we're in the state of anxiety and fear, we don't see the smallest thing, do we? We're just thinking, feeling that enormity of pressure and anxiety.
And we fear to bring in the family. We think, well, our children don't need to know about this. Well, actually, it's just the opposite. Your children do need to know about it to understand why are they sensing such stress and tension at home. They'll blame themselves if they don't know that it's not their fault. So by including the children and saying, look, we're going through a difficult time, it's bad economics, this is just a way of life, it's nobody's fault in the family, it's an external situation that we're all victims of. We have to work together. You'll find that your children will actually be the first to cooperate and give 100% of themselves into being able to make a difference. This is what they need to learn, because children will take it as their own responsibility if mom and dad are upset. They need to know it's not their fault and that they can participate in a recovery or coping process.
So sharing the load might be one solution. And it's lovely, people are texting in their stories and how they've managed stressful situations. And we were talking earlier about the lady who was feeling the pressure with her family, with her children. She was losing her temper. And someone's texting here saying that those are the times to walk away. And it's good for children to recognize and respect some apart time for parents and moms. My daughter is just 3 and I'm 8 months pregnant, and I tell her, mummy's sitting here now, I'm resting, you can play by yourself, I'll find something to do for some time alone. And at first it was difficult, she didn't like it, she was maybe whining and aggravated, but now she understands, and it's helpful for those of us who don't haven't got help or a nanny at home or even parents around to kind of establish that relationship with the children and say, this is me time, I'm going to take 10 minutes or 20 minutes for mommy to have some time on our own. And you're not abandoning your child, you're not neglecting them, but you're teaching your child that it's okay for you to play for a little while on your own. So keep them occupied.
Everybody in the family does need to participate, and people in the family will understand, even a little 3-year-old child. All you do is need to talk to them. Even if you think they won't understand the words, they may not fully grasp the content of the words, but they'll certainly understand the spirit of your message because they'll sense it from you. Children are very sensitive. They'll pick up either positive stress or negative stress. Help them by being part of it is a very important aspect in successfully dealing with the coping strategies.
Someone's text about, are there any statistics or reports to support or back up regarding the theory on stress and how to resolve stress?
There's a lot of information that is related to this. You can go to organizational psychology, industrial psychology research. You can look at employee time management techniques that are very, very helpful. So look at the time management techniques. Also in social psychology, there's a lot of information that is related to individuals dealing in stressful communities. So there's a lot of research in organizational psychology, industrial psychology, and there's a lot more research now also in social psychology, as well as the clinical aspects. If any of you are interested in the clinical aspects, you can go to some of the clinical psychology research. You want to make sure that you go to legitimate sites. When you look at this up on the internet, you're going to give out 3 million bites or 3 million hits. What you want to do is go to the professional organizations like the British Psychological Society, American Psychological Association, the Association for Psychological Sciences. There's many around the world that you can go, and each country has its Ministry of Health or its Department of Health, and there will be a psychology section for there. And also you can go even to some countries will have in their Department of Labor or Ministry of Labor a particular section on these kinds of topics. But to go to the academics, go to the psychological societies. Those are your most reassuring, factual, well-researched, standardized information.